Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crummery. An atmospheric river struck Juneau over the weekend after previous back-to-back snowstorms buried the city in several feet of snow. The change in weather triggered several avalanches and localized flooding due to clogged storm drains. By Sunday night, conditions improved on major roadways and the snowpack in some avalanche paths stabilized. An avalanche evacuation advisory is still in effect for Barron's Avenue. On Sunday evening, the city lifted the avalanche evacuation advisory for all other slide paths. The emergency shelter at Centennial Hall remains open. The shelter served 45 individuals and about a dozen pets over the weekend. Mendenhall River Community School was still closed today as crews continued snow removal efforts. Students there moved to remote learning. All other schools in the Juneau School District are open today. As of Sunday, hundreds of city staff, contractors, and emergency response workers had removed more than 3 million pounds of snow from CBJ facilities, including from Sit-e-Shanach Glacier Valley Elementary School and Mendenhall River Community School. Thane Road reopened on Sunday morning, though closures are still possible. City facilities like libraries and pools are reopening today after being closed since Friday. And Fred Meyer Grocery Store opened Sunday after being closed for several days due to concerns about the snow load on the roof. More rain is expected early Tuesday as another storm could come through Juneau. On Sunday, the National Weather Service issued a high wind watch starting tomorrow night. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska recently launched a new foundation. Its main goal is to fundraise for a new education campus in Juneau. The tribe announced the formation of the Tlingit and Haida Foundation last month. Jamie Gomez is the executive director of the nonprofit.
The mission is we strengthen tribal communities through resources that advance education, wellness, and self-determination. So it really covers almost all of the programs and a lot of the work that we do at the tribe.
Gomez says the nonprofit's first major goal is to help fund the tribe's proposed tribal education campus in the Mendenhall Valley. Tlingit and Haida's president announced plans to develop the campus during the 89th Annual Tribal Assembly in 2024. The 12-acre tribal education campus, slated to be located behind Fred Meyer, would serve students from early childhood into college. The tribe says its goal is to improve education outcomes for Alaska Native students by providing culturally relevant, place-based lessons. In total, the campus is expected to cost $90 million. Gomez says the tribe plans to develop it in phases. She said the tribe likely won't break ground on the project for at least a few years.
Those in Juneau and the community know, like, supporting our youth and future generations is really important to us. And so looking at ways that we can do that in the education campus, I think, will be a pivotal piece in that. But there's a lot of funding to be raised there.
Other tribes in Alaska also have nonprofit arms, like the Cook Inlet Tribal Council, which serves tribal members and communities from Chicoloon to Seldovia. Gomez says the Tlingit and Haida Foundation plans to connect with the Juneau community in the coming months to share more information about the nonprofit and the education campus. In Alaska's capital city, an avalanche evacuation advisory remains in effect for one neighborhood that sits beneath Mount Juneau. And now, for the first time, the city is using a radar detection system to track avalanches that rumble down the mountain, thanks to state money freed up by the city and the tribe's disaster declaration this week. Severin Stahli works for an avalanche technology startup called Gravimon in Zurich, Switzerland. On Sunday, he installed the Doppler radar system on Douglas Island. It's called an AVI monster, and it points at Mount Juneau continuously to scan for avalanches.
We can really see where it happens and where it starts, where it ends, measure the speed, and give all this information to the forecasters.
John Brissett, the city's avalanche advisor, says it works just like a boat radar, so it can scan day and night and through poor weather. Now the team won't have to wait for clear weather to see whether avalanches occurred. The radar system notifies staff instantaneously.
It allows us to detect avalanches when we can't visually see them, which in Juneau is often with the darkness and with the weather.
Using drone flights and binoculars, when the clouds rose a bit on Sunday, Brissett says he was able to see where avalanches released some snow, down the Barron's Path and to the end of Judy Lane. But he says the avalanche didn't start from very high up the mountain.
There's a lot of undisturbed snow at the top of Barron's Pass still that hasn't been affected yet. We feel that there's still potential for, if that were to go, to potentially reach homes.
That's where the city is still advising residents to keep clear. Brissett says his next step is to work with the Alaska Department of Transportation to fly a helicopter-mounted LIDAR sensor over the mountain to measure the snow. And he wants to dig snow pits to look at layers in the snowpack. He says that will help forecasters better estimate the risk to those who live in the path. The city estimates the radar system and installation costs about $200,000 or less. Since Governor Mike Dunleavy approved the city and tribe's disaster declaration, city staff say they're confident the state will pay for it. And Democrat Mary Peltola announced this morning that she's running for U.S. Senate, taking on Republican incumbent Dan Sullivan. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports that interest in whether Peltola would run has been high for months.
Peltola served one partial and one full term in the U.S. House, then narrowly lost her seat in 2024. Her announcement came with a video portraying her salmon-centered family life on the Kuskokwim River. It also harkened back to Alaska senators who served in less partisan times.
Ted Stevens often said, "To hell with politics. Put Alaska first." It's about time Alaskans teach the rest of the country what Alaska first and really America first looks like.
Nationally, Democrats believe that with Peltola on the ballot, Alaska presents one of their best hopes of flipping a Senate seat. Political analyst and statistician Nate Silver said last week that Democrats still have an uphill battle to win back the Senate majority, but that Peltola's candidacy moves their chances in Alaska from long shot to plausible. Sullivan has already raised $6 million this election cycle. He has President Trump's endorsement and maintains a strong alignment with Trump. They're both moderates, and Murkowski endorsed Peltola in the past, despite their party differences. The senator declined to pick a side when a reporter asked before Christmas. But Thursday, Murkowski said she'd made a decision.
"We've had a pretty solid team here in the Senate for the past 12 years. So we want to figure out how we're going to keep in the majority. And Dan delivers that."
"So you would endorse Dan?"
"You know, yes, I guess I'm saying that I am endorsing my Republican partner and colleague."
Both sides are expected to pour tens of millions of dollars into the race. Sullivan's last race was one of the most expensive elections in state history, with spending by both campaigns plus outside groups totaling more than $50 million. Sullivan was outspent, but beat independent candidate Al Gross by a wide margin. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And the start of Alaska's annual legislative session is just over a week away, and there's plenty on the agenda for lawmakers this year, from a possible gas pipeline to a plan to stabilize the state's finances. But lawmakers have some other ideas they'd like to discuss in the next 4 months, too. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone has this look at the first wave of new bills for the coming session.
Some of the bills would make minor tweaks to state law, like one from Anchorage Democratic Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, which would set up a two-year term for the president of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority's Board of Directors. There's currently no set term for the board president.
"Just being consistent with other boards across Alaska, because I've never heard of a board that has a chair elected indefinitely."
Some other bills, like one from Wasilla Republican Representative Jubilee Underwood, take bigger swings. Her proposal would revamp the way Alaska's public schools teach mathematics.
"So this is kind of modeled after kind of the Reads Act, but in the math area."
Underwood says she's inspired by the improvements in reading scores, since lawmakers set up a targeted series of interventions for struggling students with the Alaska Reads Act in 2022. Underwood's bill would essentially seek to ensure students are ready to take on algebra by the time they get to high school, and also push high-achieving students to take on more advanced math classes.
"Especially for younger kids, getting them proficient in reading and math, I just feel like we'll really push our scores and our testing forward, which is what I feel like Alaskans are kind of screaming for, is they want better outcomes."
Of course, lots of bills get introduced, not a lot wind up passing. And Underwood and Gray Jackson both readily acknowledge their bills might not pass this year. But they say it's important to get the ball rolling, to start a conversation that might lead to changes down the road. Democratic Juneau Representative Sarah Hannon has one conversation starter. She's filed a bill that would greatly restrict law enforcement agents from concealing their identities behind masks.
"There's been a lot of concern about ICE agents, and especially when ICE first started ramping up, that, you know, to many people, they resembled random kidnappings."
Hannon says the bill likely wouldn't bar federal agents from wearing masks, since federal law trumps state law, and she acknowledges that it's a controversial issue that makes it harder to get across the finish line. But Hannon says another bill on her agenda is much more doable, closing a loophole in the state's sexual assault laws. Last year, a judge dismissed a charge in a high-profile sexual assault case against a former Juneau chiropractor. That's because current law paradoxically makes it impossible to prosecute a medical provider for sexual assault if the victim knows they're being assaulted. Hannon says that's an unintended consequence of an earlier attempt to revamp the state's laws around sexual consent, and she says she'd like to fix it.
"I don't believe that that's good policy. I also don't believe it was ever the intent of laws to allow that to be an offense that's not prosecutable.
Representative David Nelson says he'd like to get a couple bills across the finish line this year, too. It's his last year in office. The Republican representing North Anchorage is not running for re-election, so time is of the essence. One bill would require school districts to come up with policies to combat digital impersonation and harassment, basically using AI to create fake images, video, or audio of another student.
You know, there's not a silver bullet that's going to solve everything. But if we're starting to have incremental approaches to help with younger individuals' mental health, I think that's something that we should definitely look into and work on.
Nelson says he'd also like lawmakers to pass a bill allowing some psychologists licensed in other states to practice in Alaska. He says that's an especially common job for military spouses, and he says it would be a big help to military families deployed to the 49th state. Lawmakers will have 121 days to determine what moves forward and what doesn't, and it all starts January 20th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 38 degrees and raining. We're expected to see more heavy rain come in tomorrow. And the National Weather Service issued a high wind warning starting tomorrow night and into Tuesday morning. After that, it looks like more rain with temperatures in the high 30s and low 40s. This is KTOO. For more news about the weather and everything else in Juneau, Southeast Alaska, and the state, visit ktoo.org.